back. Pulls up for three. Boom! Knocks it down. Curry from the corner at three. Puts it in.
For overtime. Makes it. Garrett. Murray.
Welcome to this edition of the MVP Cast from me, Mark Woods. My guest on this show, one of Great Britain's most exciting and dynamic guards. He's a backcourt titan who's made a reputation for himself on both sides of the Atlantic and already has played in some of Europe's very best leagues. Currently with Greek A1 team Halargos, he is, of course, Teddy Okorafor, who joins us now. Teddy, just... it's a season that you've got just now in Greece, obviously one of Europe's best leagues. Sometimes you're playing against some of Europe's best teams on a weekly basis. How is that for you as a challenge, as a point guard in particular?
For me, it's a goal, you know. It's a personal goal. I want to be on a EuroLeague team. I think I'm a EuroLeague player. I think I've got the potential to play in the EuroLeague next year, in a couple of years. So it's a goal for me. I always measure myself up against those guys that I play against. I go 100% with them, and it's a big deal for me. You know, playing with GB, you get to play them guys almost prematurely early. You get to play Greece and Nikolaopoulos, so you get to play Turkey with Fenerbahce's guards and whatever, and you get to see what level you're at, and you get to prepare yourself, and then you know what you need to work on, and you also know those guys, you know the standard that you need to get to. So I think that's the standard that I can achieve, and it's something I look forward to hopefully playing one day soon.
Is there different kind of atmospheres when you're playing against Olympiakos and Panathinaikos, particularly in their own gym, knowing the kind of cauldrons of noise and the craziness that we see there?
Yeah, no, the atmosphere is completely different. It's almost like football for them, you know. Their fans are like crazy. They're throwing flares in the stadium. It literally looks like fireworks in the stadium. It's crazy, especially when them two play each other. The rivalry is ridiculous. But it's exciting to play in somewhere you want to be. You know, you have fans that either motivate you to play harder or motivate you to beat them and shut them up, you know. So it's a great experience. It's a great environment to play in. It's something that I'm happy and it's a good life. You know?
Are you the kind of player that'll sort of ever pick someone out in a crowd or have a bit of, I guess we call, banter with them, or do you try and shut it down?
Only if I really hear them and it's like personal, but otherwise no, I just play the game. It's more satisfying to win the game than it is to argue with a fan, you know, and it's not a big deal anyway. It's like, at the end of the day, it's a sport, it's something we love to do, and I'm not going to go back and forth with a fan. But if we do win, I will let you know. If you're on the free throw line or you're on Twitter or something, I'll let you know. I've got a little bit of Joel Embiid in it.
What's it like for you now? I mean, obviously, you've been out of college a few years, and you've travelled to a few different leagues, Italy, etc. Do you kind of get used to that rhythm of being overseas and how you adapt and adjust to it?
Yeah. I mean, I left when I was 17, so I've been away for like 9 years now, but I'm really used to it. Like, I come home for like a month and I almost get bored just sitting at home doing nothing, and I have to go visit a friend or something, or go to America or go work out of college. But it's fun. It's a good lifestyle. I think if everybody had the chance to travel, they should. It's great learning about new cultures and new people and seeing new things. You know, I get to live. I've lived in Athens. I've lived in Florence. I've lived in Bologna. I think they're great places to visit, and I get the opportunity to do what I love and live there at the same time. So for me, it's perfect. I love it.
What's the first thing you do when you sign for a team? You know, you're going to a new city in the summer. Yeah, you think, well, how am I going to adjust this? What's the first thing you do to go, right, I need to get myself up to speed on this?
I just try and immerse myself into the culture, you know. I go out for coffee with the Greek guys on my team. I go, I might drink wine on a night out in Italy if I'm whatever, but it's just embracing what they do, you know. So if somebody comes over here, or even like when Tariq Phillip comes over here, we give him fish and chips, you know. Like we feed him up, we teach him about the culture, and it's a good way to learn. It's a good way to grow as a person for me. I also take lessons in learning Greek, so I want to learn Greek. Every language, every country I play in, I take lessons to learn a language. So I think it's cool to do that. I think you grow as a person. And
other way.
It's just great being like almost a citizen of the world, you know, not just your own culture. So it's cool.
So how's your Greek? Scale of 1 to 10. What's the capability just now? Ordering food, where are you at?
I can order food, say hello, how are you, you know, and understand a lot more than I can speak. But it's cool to just know, walk into the store, ask for some eggs and stuff, and milk, but it's a cool experience.
Did you immediately focus in trash talking words or anything like that, or swear words even?
You learn those in practice just by messing up, you know. Even the coach will say something or assistant, so they come by nature in every team, in every country, but you know them, but it's cool.
When you started out playing, and you kind of, all of us when we were kids were playing and we just do it for the hell of it, and then here you are, age 26, and you're playing professionally, you're playing in a great league. Do you kind of ever get a chance now to still sit back and go, this is kind of like living the dream?
Yeah, no, I do that all the time. I like to like reflect and even picture where I want to go from here, you know, like for me, if you're a league or whatever, but you have to take time to appreciate where you come from, and especially when you come home and the coach is so different. Like I enjoy it because a lot of my friends growing up didn't play basketball, and I've kept that same friend group and group chat. So when I come home, I get to be like almost that nobody, just that regular guy that just, you know, just walks around London. But then when I go to Greece, it's like, oh, you go in the store and people know who you are. So it's like you get both ends of the spectrum, but it's cool, and you have to reflect and appreciate what you have and still strive to get more, obviously.
Do you find that friends at Titley that you've got from school or from childhood, that you kind of still have to explain to them, listen, this is what this strange life that I lead is?
They understand it because they know the culture isn't so big in England, and they understand why I go to the country that I go to. But they come out and visit me. My friends have come out and visit me in every country I played in, so it hasn't been like a big deal for me. But with the apartment that I get, they can stay at my house and watch games, come for the weekend. And because it's Europe, it's not like I'm from America, like they have that issue where they have to fly 9-10 hours and stay maybe a week. My friends can come for a weekend and it costs them £100, so for them it's perfect, a little vacation. And for me, it's support, it's friendship, it's part of life, you know.
Is that kind of important to keep friends outside basketball? Because it's very easy to get sucked into this vortex that there's nothing, you don't know anyone outside the sport, and that's the vacuum.
Yeah, I think it is, personally. But I come from a basketball family, you know. My mum has a club, so it's like completely basketball around me. But I've always kept friends outside of basketball. At my age group, in London, I haven't really had so many friends in East London particularly that were exactly my age or in my year, so it was a little different for me, and I was forced to like just have friends that I went to all boys school, so my friends didn't play basketball, my friends played football or did music, or now they do real estate and stuff. So like, completely different friends, but it gives you a good perspective on life, and doesn't keep you so, you know, like focused on just basketball and just basketball, and you put yourself into that box where everything's just about basketball. Life's bigger than that, and as much as I love the game, you know, one day you're gonna have to put the ball down and you're gonna have to talk to your friends that don't play basketball no more. So I think it's cool, and I appreciate them for that.
Thanks, you don't. Now, explain your mum's club and what she's put together.
Okay, I have to shout her out. So I'm going to say she's got one of the biggest clubs in England. She's got one of the biggest, if not definitely the biggest club in London. Everybody knows who she is and the club that she has. She provides, the club is No More South Sports Academy now, so she provides basketball lessons and coaching in various primary schools, secondary schools, has every age group, National League and stuff. But it does all community projects, like carrying a basketball instead of a knife or a blade is a campaign that she does. It's a huge club. It's something that is productive for kids. It keeps them off the street. A lot of them, she got a good participation rate. It's local. It's based pretty much in UEL, where a lot of guys, even from the GB team, come and scrimmage in the off season. She's built something really good. She's a torch bearer. She got to carry the torch in the 2012 Olympics. I'm proud of her. She's done her thing on growing a club and starting from nothing pretty much. And I got to see her do it, and it's huge. But me and my mum have a love-hate relationship. Like, when I come home, I don't want to talk about basketball. I don't want to know about like all the updates and stuff, because I want to just be outside of the world, you know. But it's cool. She got a big club.
I mean, there's evidently a lot of pride there about what she does. I mean, how much is that? Did that inspire you to see what you could achieve through a sport, and now you trying to achieve something through a sport?
I'd say I got my whole work ethic from her, you know. Like when she came to England from Russia, so she didn't know the language, she didn't know anything pretty much. Raised me and my brother with my grandma. And so I watched her work, like even subconsciously, you just get to see your parents leave the house, come back, late hours, work, and then grandma's taking care of you, have a kid, their mom and dad picking them up from school and stuff, and you know your parents are working, and when you get older, you realise what they were doing, you know? And you know that if they can do it, like it'd be almost a slap in the face if I didn't do it, you know? If I was sacrificed or just went and just, I don't know, did something that wasn't worthwhile or didn't have ambition or work ethic where I wanted more, period, in every aspect of my life, then it'd be almost disrespectful to her because she's always wanted more and always got more, and she's continued to develop, and that's something I want for myself and for my family, and that's how me and my brother are, my sister's like that. So I think it's a good work ethic she's instilled in us, and it's a testament to her and the character she is.
She's from where in Russia?
She's from Moscow.
So have you gone back there much? Have you kind of checked it out? No, never at all.
I've never got the opportunity to, because every summer it's like first I was doing 4 years of school, and in America you have to do summer school. And then after that it was like my first pro season. I come home for the first time, my first summer to get to be home with family, and then the next summer it's like going on a little vacation or something because you made some money, so it's like you get to enjoy it a little bit. So I'm going to go. I was thinking about actually going this summer. My grandma goes a lot, my brother's been, and then I've got it tidied actually. I've got the whole lot of Moscow tidied, but
giant cathedral tattoo.
Yeah, I can't go. And I've got the two little doors for my mom and my grandma, but and I've got London on the other side, so I'm born and bred, but I'll go soon. I know I'll go.
Was there any kind of Russian traditions that you guys had growing up that you sort of had to keep every once a year or something?
We kept like the Christmas tree up until past January, like 7th, because January 7th.
That's just laziness.
It's like the Russian Christmas, so we keep that there. Eat all the Russian food that they made, and I still eat it to this day. And I speak the language, read and write it, everything. So, I'm pretty Russian.
Is that kind of add to the sort of global that you have?
I think that definitely adds, because my friends always say to me, oh, you're lucky you speak Russian already. And I grew up like learning that as a second language early. So I think it's easier to embrace other cultures when you already have, two cultures in you. And you're more open-minded, you're more accepting of other cultures, and you're willing to try new things, which I think is a good thing.
Have you ever sort of said to your agent, try and get me a deal in Russia next year?
We were trying to look at the whole Russian passport thing, because obviously you can make more money as a local if you're Russian and stuff like that. But I think the rules are kind of mixed. So I'm still going to work on it, but the rules are kind of like different because of the whole... Honestly, because I play for GB, so now I don't know if I could be a local in Russia because I play for my national.
I think you work for Becky Hammon. I think you're all right. I think there are rules that can be made.
Yeah. I mean, if we can make the rules work, then I'll make it work for sure. But I know it's cold. I'm a person who would rather play in a nice city and nice weather than just for money in some freezing little village, you know?
I mean, we see here the Tatar, obviously, the cathedral in Moscow. You've got a few others. What's the kind of story behind some of these here? So you've got a big rose here with names on. Who are they?
It's my grandma, a rose for my grandma, a rose for my mama, a rose for my sister. The year I was born, I've got my grandma with a tiger. It's like a portrait she took. She went to, I don't know where she did it, but she visited like I don't know if it was a safari or something, but she got to like lay on a tiger and take a picture, and I liked it. It's like a spirit animal, I'd say, kind of thing. That's it so much. Maybe an angel, and then I think I've got a quote that says life is what you make it.
Why that quote?
That's what I believe. I just think you've always got like two choices in any situation. It's to either be held back or complain and make excuses, or make the best of it. And then, like the saying is, silver lining in every cloud. And if you look at the silver lining, you can get out of whatever situation you're in, or if it's a good situation, you can make it better. So I think I've got somewhat privileged life, and I still want more, and or I can just sit back and be comfortable and just sit in the league for 5 years and just be regular and average, but I want more, and so it's on me to do it.
What's your regime to get there? I mean, is it practice, is it getting by agent, or how do you kind of build that career path now that you're kind of halfway through your career? I guess
it's like a combination of things. You have to know, I think I'm starting to learn that you have to know the right people, you have to play the right way, obviously. You have to win. Winning is important, and something I've been fortunate enough to do my pro career so far. But first 2 years, I made it to the playoffs both years. This year, we're looking like we're going to make it to the playoffs, and I'm on a higher, I'd say a higher level team than last year. They're having a bad year this year, so. And then learning as much, and it's really like when you're in the game and watching the game, you have to really like study it and watch as much EuroLeague as you can, and watch these guards, Spanoulis, Kalafis, Slukas, whoever you're watching, and watch what they do and how you can bring, almost take their game and make it yours while bringing your game to the sport too, and being who you are, but taking from them because they are successful and they're somebody, people that are in the position you're in. So it's the same with anything. You just have to work hard, study the game, and then in the off season, get your rest, work on your body, improve, and then come back and do it again.
So are you the kind of guy that's set up at night, study Synergy, study YouTube clips to kind of see other guards and what they do.
I like to watch the game more. I don't really like the whole clip. If you got a highlight or something, I'll watch that, like how they use ball screens or how they're shot ready in the corners or whenever they catch the ball, they're ready to shoot. Or for me personally, I'm at the point that I have to know more reads, and so it's like the timing and the pace of the how they dribble and where they're going and when they pass and which hands they pass with and stuff like that. So for me, it's more watching the game and watching the flow of the game, because I control a lot of the tempo of the game, so I can read how when to score, when to go fast, when to slow down, when to run a play for a shoot, or when to slow it down and get it inside, because I don't know, you've turned the ball over 2 times in a row and now you need to get everyone calm. And then it's just talking. It's being, from my position, it's big on leadership and telling guys where to be and reminding people what play we're doing and what offense or what defense we're running and stuff like that. So it starts with me, and it's just learning and watching those guys that have done it before me and are high level right now, but it's somewhere I want to get to, so I need to incorporate that into my game too.
Is that the difference between Teddy of 5 years ago and the Teddy of now, that you've that confidence to be a leader right there and not be afraid to tell elder guys what they need to do?
I mean, at first it was just more learning. You don't. There was a saying that at VCU that I learned, that you don't know what you don't know, and it's like, it basically means sometimes when you don't know something, you just literally don't know it. So you have to go through it to learn it, you know. And when I first came to camp, and guys like Dan Clark is telling me like this, I'm like, oh, okay, I never knew this, so I never knew to do this, and now you've told me I can do it. And it's more learning, and it's, when you're younger, you're just more stubborn, you just want to just play the game, you know, you don't want to stretch before practice, you want to just get in there, go 5-on-5, go crazy, and then sit down and, I don't know, go talk to your friends or go on Instagram. But now it's like, okay, I went in here, I was, I don't know, 5-for-12, what shots did I miss, why did I miss them, was I not ready, did I not hit the backboard right, or something like that, and you know which situations, and you can replay them in your head, and something you can improve from, and that goes with the guys you play with and the experience that they have. But then it's just a confidence thing of coming out and saying for yourself, like, I'm the leader. I now know enough where I can tell people what to do, but I'm still learning. It doesn't mean I know everything, you know. So it's being open. Leadership isn't just saying that I'm going to do this or I'm telling people what to do. It's about learning and being able to take criticism. Someone might show you something that you didn't know again. So it's just growing, and it's, I think I've grown over the 5 years, and I think I've got a lot more growing to do, so I'm excited.
Last couple of things, what's the most fun part of this job and what's the worst part?
I think the most fun part is the playing, honestly, and it's winning. Winning is the most fun part for me. It's like when you finish the game, it doesn't matter if you score 2 points or 30 points. I'm going to say that it does matter if you did feel that you contributed, you know. Sometimes you have a really bad game and you win and you feel bad, but when you feel like, okay, we won the game and I can score 2 points, but I play great defense and everybody's happy, and that's a great feeling. And growing, especially for me, I've been on teams where we've had slow starts and we've managed to rally together with the same guys. We haven't cut guys, we haven't changed the team. With real bond, you go out to eat together, you go watch movies together, you bond, and then you know on the court you've got a strong relationship and you dive on the floor just for a random person you didn't know 10 months ago, you know. And then when you win and you come to the playoffs and you know you've had a successful season, where that, because of that and because of everything you've done in those 10 months, you're going to get a better contract. There's no better feeling than that, and knowing that you've done everything you can, and you're a good player. Honestly, you know that you have the confidence to say I'm good enough to be on this level or play at this level. So that's the best part for me. The worst part for me would be just being away from family. Really, I don't think there's a bad part of this job, because you get to practice for 2 hours, 3 hours a day, maybe lift. So you're working on your body. For me, I just look at it as like growth, or like, it's like working out, but you get to do what you love. You know, you get paid to play basketball, and you get to travel, and you get to eat good and take care of yourself the right way. So I don't see any negative in the life, but just a distance away from family and friends.
Last thing, obviously, you go overseas, you're making an impact. You play for GB, you're making an impact. Kids are watching that. What do you hope that kind of a young player, maybe 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old, could see in someone like you and think, I'd quite like to do that? What's the sort of messages you think that you hope that you're sending out, guys?
I just think that you can do whatever you want to do. And I know it's cliche, but if I can do it, then there's no difference from anybody else. I came from a family who never played basketball. I didn't play basketball until I was 12 or 13, because my brother played basketball and I copied what he did, because our stepdad came into our lives and he had played basketball in America in high school or something. So it was like okay, I'll just pick the ball up one day, and since that day I've been playing and I've improved, and I just have to work on it, and that's that's the biggest challenge. It's like, how consistent can you be working hard? And if you're consistent enough, then you can easily be where I am, or more, or higher than I am. I say we're easy, but I'm just saying, if you're consistent with what you're doing, you're working hard every day, and that's the goal, and you're, even me, I could probably be higher level if I didn't mess around a couple years or whatever, but it's just having a laser focus and staying true to what you want to do, and not, and sacrificing early so that you can have a better life in your 20s and your 30s or whatever. That's the biggest message I'd have. You can do it. If I could do it, you could do it.
Still time, yeah.
I'll be your elixir. That's the goal.
Thanks for the chat, Teddy.
No problem.
Well, thanks go to Teddy Okorafor for joining us on this edition of the MVP Cast. Don't forget, you can get previous episodes via our website at mvp247.com. Just click on the podcast page, or you can subscribe, of course, to have it downloaded directly to your device. Just choose MVP Cast on your favourite podcast provider. Another episode coming up soon. But for me, Mark Woods, thanks for listening. We'll catch you then.